All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. Now, if you guys remember from last week, we said that our Sunday celebration last Sunday as well as today, it's going to be a little bit different because we want to actually try to focus more on making sure that as we gather together that we are praying, and more specifically for this upcoming year. I really believe that we are called to be a house of prayer. I mean, Jesus himself, if you remember, right, the episode of when he's driving out these money changers and these merchants from the temple, that he declared that this is called to be a house of prayer. And when he said that this is called to be a house of prayer, he didn't necessarily mean that all we do is pray in the church. But when you think about the aspect of what prayer is, part of it involves our worship. But then when you think about prayer, it's really our devotion to God, and in that devotion that we're seeking for God. And so I know that there are many different ways that we can seek. I think just for many different reasons. I think one of them is it's not really comfortable. It's not one of these muscles that we've actually exercised. And so when it comes to maybe a little bit more of an extended time of prayer, sometimes we feel like we don't know what to do, or maybe we don't know what to say. But that's all right. Because really, I believe that the vision that God has for us, once again, is not to be a church where we just go through, okay, so on Sundays, we know kind of what the routine is, but to be a house of prayer, which means we want to seek God in his heart, which means we have to be sensitive to how he's going to lead us. And I really feel like more than anything, we want to spend our time and energy and effort today into praying. That we want to pray and we want to seek God's heart for us. For this upcoming year. And so I want to share from this verse, because I feel like for the last 2 weeks, God's been really challenging me and ministering to me through this specific verse. I think it's a verse that's familiar, at least to myself, and maybe for some of us as well. And I want to share with us some of the reminders that the Holy Spirit has been laying in my heart. And then hopefully through that, that we can really pray for this upcoming year. Because the question that I always wrestle with, especially in this season where my kids go back to school and I know that it's a new season of ministry, that there's new people that we're going to reach out to, old people that are going to come back and we're going to continue to disciple, that as we continue to look forward to, and especially this year, it's a very special year for us because we're going to be celebrating the 10-year journey that God has brought us through in the city of Austin and really looking forward to next 10 years and beyond. The question that I often wrestle with is, in this new season, how do I move forward in ministry, right? Because part of it is, yes, I need to depend on the Lord. Part of it is there is a sense of anxiety because you don't know exactly how everything's going to turn out. And so how do I move forward in this new season of ministry? Maybe some of us are there, and maybe it's not necessarily ministry, but it's a new season of life as God brings certain transitions into our lives. Maybe God is closing a chapter and opening up a new chapter. And as we think about these transitions, the question is, how do I move forward in this new season of maybe life, in this new season of relationships, in this new season of thinking about my relationship with God and so forth? And really the answer that God has been challenging me with and really ministering to me with is this answer of learning to strengthen myself in the Lord. Okay, and so what I want to do is I want to read for us from this passage, and then what I want to do after this is just give us some reflections that I've been thinking about in my own heart, and actually this is from my quiet time, so I get to share about my quiet time, and then after that, we're going to spend some time praying together, okay? All right, so this is the word of God. It says this, "Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burnt with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. when David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Okay? Really, the key is that last phrase, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. What does that look like for us to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God? So I want to give us a couple of observations. So when you think about this passage, David is coming back, right? He wants to go and fight with, the context is David's on the run from King Saul. And so he's with the Philistines, who are actually the enemies of the Israelites. And the Philistines are going to battle against the Israelites. And so David actually wants to go with the Philistines. But the Philistines are like, no, we don't want David here because he could actually turn against us in the midst of the battle and help the Israelites. And so after David is kicked out of the camp of the Philistines, and as he's coming back to his own camp, he discovers that the enemy has come and raided the camp and have taken everyone that's in the camp hostage, and they've moved on. And so David finds himself in this impossible situation, right, where he's lost his loved ones. They were taken into hostage. His men are ready to turn on him, thinking that this is David's fault. We should have never gone with the Philistines in the first place, that if we were here to actually protect our women and our children, this would have never happened. But also, this is in the context of David being on the run from King Saul, who is set on taking his life. And when you think about it, it's not just about King Saul taking David's life, but this is after actually David was anointed the new king. So David knew that God anointed him to be the next king, but the old king is still sitting on the throne, and so he's on the run. And so once again, we see David finding himself in an impossible situation. Now, I don't know if you've ever found yourselves in a situation where you feel like this is impossible. Maybe it's stuff that's going on in work, or maybe it's in our personal lives. Maybe it's just a funk that we're in, and it just seems, no matter how hard we try, it just seems that we cannot get ourselves out of it, right? Maybe it's certain struggles that we face that are never ending. Seems like we've gone through this period where we've kind of overcome, and the next thing we know it, we're dealing with these same struggles and maybe same issues and same doubts. And I think one thing that we notice is really what's remarkable about David and what he does is that in the face of this impossible situation, David goes beyond his circumstance. And we see that ultimately that he is able to overcome, because when you continue to read through the story of what happens, David actually goes after the Amalekites with his men, and they're able to recover all of their loved ones, that no one is lost in that process. So the question is, how does David overcome his circumstance, and how is he able to persevere? So these are a couple, I think five. One, two, three, four. Yes. Five observations and five truths that God's been really challenging me with in my heart. So I want to share these things. I want to go fairly quickly, and then after that, we'll spend some time in prayer, right? So this is what God has been speaking to me about. So first of all, when we think about how we can learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and how we can learn to overcome specific situations and circumstances, first of all, what God has been speaking to me about is, number one, it's really a matter of choice. And I know that that sounds cliche, right? Like, you have the power to choose. But reality is, it's true. That in that moment, David could have chose, I almost said Dave, like more in the first name. Like, King David could have chosen to go another direction, right? He could have chosen to pout, or he could have chosen to take out his frustration at his men and so forth. But he actually makes this choice. And so it's this choice to make space for God. It's this choice to come before God. And so really, that's the first challenge for us, that when we are faced with circumstances, and when we think about maybe this journey of unknown that God is bringing us through, that it's really a choice of making space for God in our lives. And I know that it sounds simple, but for many of us, that's where we stumble. That instead of turning to God, we turn to other things. And, you know, we almost feel like, well, we have no choice. But the reality is that we have a choice to make, as David had a choice to make. And I have a choice to make in my own life as well, every single day, that I have to choose to make space for God. So the first thing that God's been challenging me with, that it's really a matter of choice. The second thing that God's been challenging me with is that when you think about what it means to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, that it doesn't happen overnight. Because oftentimes I think that, okay, like when I think about the story of David, man, what he was able to do, that's awesome. I feel like that's where I need to be in my relationship with God. But oftentimes the reality is that I'm not there, right? I fail more times than I actually succeed. And then I get frustrated with myself. Because I feel like I should be at a certain level as a pastor and as a husband and a Christ follower. But I'm not there yet, and I see all of my faults. But the second thing that God has been reminding me with is this reality, once again, the simple reality that it doesn't happen overnight. Like for King David, that it was literally years of yearning and growing and learning to be in God's presence. One thing that we notice about King David is really he is known to be a worshiper, and that doesn't happen overnight, right? Even when he was a nobody, tending sheep for his father, we notice that even then, David was developing this heart for the Lord. And I think when you read these verses, really the key is at the end when it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. And so it's not just the Lord. It's not just God, but it's really in the Lord, his God. And that's really emphasizing this intimacy that David had with the Lord. Doesn't mean that David wasn't distraught. We see that David cries and he weeps over the situation of what's going on. But ultimately, he comes and he continues to renew himself in that intimacy, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a journey that we're on, which means the struggles and the different experiences that we go through, it's there so that it can strengthen us for the journey that is coming up ahead. And so when we think about what's going on, even in David's situation, he's not there. All of a sudden, he jumped there, but it's because he's gone through many different trials. And through those trials that he's chosen to place himself in the mercy and the grace of God over and over again. And so it doesn't happen overnight, which means that I have to continue to cultivate my intimacy with God. That I have to continue to cultivate my intimacy with God. Okay? Number three, this is what God's been challenging me with. Number three is that I have to learn to focus on the greatness of God. That when I think about what it means to strengthen myself in the Lord, I have to learn to focus on the greatness of God. Now, it doesn't exactly tell us in these verses how David went about strengthening himself in the Lord, right? It doesn't tell us that he actually wrote a psalm. It doesn't tell us that he took out his harp and started playing and singing these songs. It doesn't tell us that he went to this place by himself to pray and to meditate. But I think as we look into his history, I think there are some guesses that we can make. And I would say a very good educated guess would be that he probably spent some time in worship, reminding himself once again of who God is, that reminding himself that despite the circumstances that he's faced, that God is so much greater, that he is able to trust in God. And I think for me, that's really key, that I have to continue to declare the greatness of God. And it's not something that I do in the past and then I move on, but it's something that I have to learn to do on a daily basis. Regardless of the situations, some days it's just going to be like blah, mundane, things that you know that you can take care of on your own, the reality is that you can't, but you think that you can. And then all of a sudden, struggles come, trials come. But it doesn't matter what situations and circumstances that we run into, but it's constantly declaring the greatness of God. So that when you're bored at work, you're declaring the greatness of God. That when there is something going on in your family that is beyond your control, that you are declaring the greatness of God. Which means that I have to continue to declare the greatness of God, even if it's hard for me to see beyond my circumstances. Okay. Number four, I cannot take matters into my own hands. When I think about what it means to strengthen myself in the Lord, it means that I cannot take matters into my own hands. I think one thing that's really been challenging for me as I kind of read through this and meditate on this is that I know that David is a man of action, right? David's a king. He's a warrior. Obviously, he's a leader because even though he didn't declare, hey, guys, I'm a leader, there were all these people that started following him. And so you can guess what the character of David is like. He's probably a very charismatic guy. And it could have been so easy for him to say, all right, David, you got to get yourself together, right? Have one of these pep talks and say, okay, you got to come up with a plan. You got to come up with a way to mobilize these guys. And you got to come up with a three-step process of going and rescuing your family. But we see that he doesn't do that. But he learns to wait on God. He learns to take his troubles before the Lord. And it's amazing that in the midst of everything that's happening, that he actually takes time to seek God. And I think that's so important. And we see that it's not just in this instance. But if you guys remember, right, when David was on the run, when he's hiding in the cave, King Saul comes and he's relieving himself. And David's men are right there. King Saul's within striking distance. And they say, David, this is a chance that God has given you. Go and strike the man who is trying to kill your life. Do you guys remember what King David says? He doesn't say, that's right. While he's relieving himself, he doesn't even know I'm here. So all I have to do is just stick out my sword and stab him. And that's the end of my troubles. He says, no, I'm not going to what? I'm not going to strike the one who is anointed by God to be king. And so David has this habit of trusting in God, not taking matters into his own hands, to say that God has a greater purpose for me, and I'm going to continue to follow in the plans and the purposes of God. And so when you think about it, like, how do you know whether that's really the purpose and the plan of God or not? Maybe God has designed that situation in such a way where Saul is there relieving himself. Maybe that's God's plan for David to actually do him in. But I think David is able to discern that situation because, once again, of his intimacy. And in that intimacy, that he is able to trust in God, that I cannot take matters into my own hands, which means that I have to let go of control, that I have to learn to follow God's leading. And then the last thing that God's been really encouraging me with is simply this, that when I do go astray, that I have to go to God and I have to seek him to be restored. That when I do go astray, I have to go to God and I have to seek him to be restored. Now, this isn't in this story, but I know for myself that even in the midst of trying my best to follow him, I'm going to mess up. But that's just a given, that I'm going to screw up, that I'm going to make mistakes. Like even today, coming to church because I was late because I was having trouble closing my garage door, right? For 15 minutes, I was pressing my stinking button, like, close, it won't close, close, it won't close. Like I tried to block the sensor from the sun, it wouldn't close. And I was running late and I was flustered. It was a yellow light right there. I thought I could make it. I thought I made it until I saw the lights. And I didn't make it, so he pulled me over, this large African-American gentleman, asked for my license, asked me where I was going, and I said, I'm going to church, 10 minutes late, I gotta preach. He said, wow. Well, I won't say what he said. But he let me off. He gave me a warning. I know that I'm going to, even going to church, I know that I'm going to sin, right? Break the law. We know that even in David's life, he's made some terrible mistakes. And when you think about what really defines David's life, when I think about what really defines David's life, it's not necessarily in these great things that he was able to accomplish for the kingdom of Israel. I think what separates David from other kings like King Saul is really his heart for God. So that when he makes this terrible mistake of committing adultery, and to cover that up, he committed murder by killing the woman's husband. And when he was exposed, that David comes before the Lord and he confesses and he repents. I think what separates David is really his understanding that God is a God of grace and mercy. And more than anything, that's what he needed in his life. And I know that for myself, that even as I aim to follow God, that even as I learn daily to strengthen myself in him, I'm not going to do that perfectly. I know that I'm going to make mistakes. And when I do make mistakes, that I need to seek his grace and his mercy for my life. Okay? So these are some of the things that God's been really speaking to me about. And I know that they're very, you could say that, you know, these are very basic things, but, you know, as I've been praying through these basic things for me, it's through these basic truths that God's been really encouraging me and strengthening me. That God's been speaking hope into me for this upcoming year, that it's not about how I plan, it's not about the sermons that I'm going to preach, it's not about, you know, how we structure the church and train up the leaders. It's not about these great events that we're going to have to attract students. It's not about these things that we're going to do to reach out to the city. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that those things aren't important. But ultimately, what has to define for me this upcoming year is really my journey of seeking God. And it's this constant reminder for me. I think it's because I struggle with this a lot. Is that what defines my life isn't necessarily the success that I experience in ministry, but what defines my life is my faithfulness, and that's going to be my worship to God. And so it's not this journey of, okay, let's see if we can grow the church to be 150 this year. And don't get me wrong, I think having dreams and expectations and goals, I think those are great things. But I think for me, it's this journey of learning to worship. It's this journey of learning to follow the God that I love. And so in all these things, the key for me is constantly coming back to the reality of what the gospel is for my life, right? And even in the fact that I can choose to come before God, it's not because somehow I can make that choice, but it's because I know that Christ made the way for me by dying for my sins on the cross. Even the fact that I can choose to focus on the greatness of God, because that greatness of God was demonstrated for my life on the cross. That I can trust in God and I don't have to take matters into my own hands, because on the cross I see the love and the mercy of God that's demonstrated for me, that God has already given me his best. So why would he withhold the good things that he wants to bless me with in my life? That I can come back to him over and over again when I fail, because on the cross I see his love and his forgiveness that was demonstrated for me as he sent his son to die for my sins on the cross, and through his resurrection to give me new life. So I think for us, as we think about this new year, right? As I think about, at least for me, this is what I'm thinking as a pastor. I'm thinking about Campus Missions Week and all the new students that we're going to try to reach out to. I'm thinking about our city ministry, of really rolling out this vision of the un, right? We've been talking about the unchurched, the unreached, the unloved. How we can really go about that in a practical way to be salt and light on our campus. I know that I can't do it on my own. And I know that every single step of the way, I need to strengthen myself in the Lord, because I know that I'm going to fail and disappoint people. I know that people are going to disappoint me. I know that I'm not going to make all the right decisions. I know that my worship isn't going to be perfect. But I know that I can strengthen myself in the Lord, because God has already demonstrated for me on the cross that he is for me and not against me. Right? And when you think about that, that God is for you and not against you, I think that breeds such joy and confidence to realize that the God of this universe right now, that he is speaking into our lives and our hearts, and that he is saying that I am for you. And the reality is that if God is for me and not against me, then what else do I need? That if God says, you already have my approval, I don't need the approval of men and women. That if God says, I already have chosen to set my love and my affections on you, then I don't have to work hard to try to earn his love for me. That if God says, I am already pleased with you, then I don't have to try to live my life in such a way where I'm constantly struggling with this thought of, is God pleased with me or not? If God says that your joy is made complete in me, then I don't have to look for anything else. But I know that my life is defined by who my God is and who he declares me to be. And I have to learn, right? Because it doesn't come easy for us to say, okay, well, that's enough. No, the reality is that that's not enough. Otherwise, we wouldn't struggle. But it's every single day learning to grow in that reality, to say, God, make that true of me so that I can declare to my own heart that that's enough for me. And so that's what I want us to pray for the rest of our time together. Okay, so can we stand together? You know, we're not going to go too long, maybe for the next, I don't know, see how the Spirit leads us. But I do want us to pray together. And so this is how I want us to start. Maybe for some of you, there are specific situations and circumstances that you are going through, right? Season of transition, maybe choices that we need to make. Maybe there are some difficult things that we're facing, whether it's personally, professionally, in our families and so forth. And maybe it is a season of learning to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Just like David. And so I want you to ask the Spirit of God to lead you. And to teach you and to remind you. That he who began this work in you, that he will be faithful. And that he is the one who will bring it to completion. Maybe some of us, there isn't anything specific that we're going through per se, right? It's been good. God's been good to us. We're just trying to be faithful. There necessarily isn't these huge struggles that we read about David's life. That's great. But it's in these times that we have to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord so that when the trials and the storms come, that we can be reminded of who God is. That it's not a switch that we flip on, but it's this journey every single day of learning to rejoice in God, learning to remind ourselves of the greatness of who God is, learning to say, I don't need to be in control because God already is, learning to trust, and that when we do fall and fail, learning to come back to God. because he is a God who will restore and renew. And so let's spend some time, just even for us personally, to say, God, teach me. Teach me to strengthen myself in you, in my circumstances, in my life, in the relationships that I have, in my hopes and my dreams, in my struggles, in the questions that I have, in the uncertainties that I face. Help me to strengthen myself in you. Help me to take root so that I can go deep into your heart. And help me to abide in your love for me. And so can we start there? And let's spend some time just praying for ourselves and asking the truths of God to come and encourage our hearts. And after a little bit, I'll just bring us back together and we'll pray for the things that are coming up for us as a church. And then after that, we'll close out our time together, okay? So let's do that. So if you want to remain standing, great. If you want to be seated, that's fine as well. But let's spend some time just praying for our own hearts and praying for our own lives. So let's do that together, church. Let's pray together.